This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central, and it's so good to be with you. And we are heading straight into our Startup of the Week feature. We're doing a bit of a revival, aren't we, Chloe?
Saving our souls.
It's a really, really interesting name. We'll get into that in a moment. If you've just joined us and you haven't heard the show before, if you are a young, up-and-coming, high-potential executive who wants to fast-track their career, or maybe you're an entrepreneur who wants to build their business and, you know, really get to that CEO status as quickly as possible, well, then this is the show for you. We talk all things leadership, all things management, all things young, fresh, and
exciting.
Entrepreneurial. And just use your words again. I love your words.
We catalyze entrepreneurship. We amplify and we advocate entrepreneurship.
Now, before we go there, we actually had some contact from one of, and I think she calls herself our biggest fan. Mm. And so let's quickly just, I just want to read something to you, Chloe. And it was really, really nice and to hear. Her name is Sarah. We won't tell the rest of her name, but her name is Sarah. And she says this: "Good morning, Future CEOs team. This is just a brief message to say thank you for your constant encouragement throughout my matric year. At the end of matric, I passed with 4 distinctions and can honestly say I wouldn't have done it without your encouragement and wise words. I'm wishing you guys an amazing 2016 full of more amazing shows, and I will always be listening." And then she says, "Lots of love, your number one supporter, Sarah." So, well, Sarah, thank you.
We always need that kind of validation.
Much.
Well, I do. We do. We love it.
No, and it's gratifying to be able to know that there is an impact that is being made. By the way, Sarah, we're going to be sending you a signed copy of Shirley Zinn's book. I mean, and it's a swimming upstream. So
she will love it,
yes,
Gareth.
Yes, she will. She will. She will. So, Sarah, we will be in contact with you. We'll get your details and expect a really, really good book coming to you very, very soon. Okay, let's get into the show. Libby?
A woman with a traveling itch, an insatiable appetite for design, a passion for the planet's sustainability. Welcome to the show, Ridwana Sheikh, or Miss Sugar. Which one?
<you. laughs> Actually, Miss Sugar doesn't. It's on a bit of a holiday at the moment.
Is it?
So we're going to go with Save Our Souls now.
Save Our Souls. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So we're talking about Startup of the Week. Tell us about Save Our Souls.
Okay.
From the beginning.
All right. Save Our Souls Footwear is a, we're a design consultancy with the ability to do small-scale manufacture. So we design and develop, manufacture 2 of our own products. And we also, under our design consultancy service, we have the ability to do anything, any quantity of footwear from 10 pairs to 300 pairs. And usually our clients come to us with ideas that they already have, but sometimes they give us creative carte blanche, or we can go a little bit wild. And it's generally our small-scale service fills a nice niche, because boutiques generally don't really want mass amounts of footwear. And also they find it difficult to get the footwear that they're looking for from existing manufacturers, which are quite scary to deal with, I have to let you know. And so, yeah, we've just found a niche and we took it.
Gareth?
Now, what we really, really need to do in this conversation is go all the way back.
Okay.
Where did this all begin? I mean, you've been around the world. You've studied in, where was it?
Italy.
Italy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. Did you study in Italian?
No, but however, so I was quite misinformed before I started my studies. I thought nobody spoke English there, so I learned Italian. I'm quite fluent in Italian.
Oh, right, right.
Wow. I get there and everybody wants to speak English.
But, I mean, that's a great skill to have.
It really is. I happen to be a polyglot, so I speak multiple languages. And so it so happened that only the older generation wanted to speak in Italian, which was great. So we kind of had a trade-off with the young guys. And they'd speak in Italian to me, and I'd have to respond in English. So, yeah, it worked out at the end. To answer your question, the idea for footwear was always nestled in my head. Like since I know myself, I've always been doodling. I've been a creative from the time I think I could lift a pencil.
Mm.
I didn't know that footwear ran in my blood until I finally told my gran that I was going to up sticks and leave to Italy to go and study footwear making. And then she says to me, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, your great grandfather was a cobbler." I'm like, "Oh, that explains
that's where it comes from."
Yeah. So I studied graphic graphic design, fashion design, and finally footwear design. And I like the challenge of being able to design on what I feel is the smallest canvas of the human body. I think fashion design is great. I mean, I studied it. I should think it's great. But you kind of can get away with so much. When it comes to a foot, you're very limited. And I kind of like having to navigate those limitations.
Now, there's more to this, though, than just the design side of it, which is really, I guess, why you've garnered the attention of centers or people like Richard Branson and that is that there is an, how do we phrase it? Let me just go here and let me say it in your words. Leave behind a legacy of great footwear, not a land full of wasted shoes. What does that mean?
Okay, so fashion and footwear manufacturing are two of the, what I consider the most environmentally destructive industries there are.
Okay.
We're not going to waste words here. They just really, really are crappy for the environment. And most of the traditional way that shoes are made now, which is a more modern way, uses a lot of plastic, a lot of solvent glues, a lot of synthetic materials, which in essence will lie on a landfill for thousands of years. They'll be unable to decompose. So when we do design, we kind of design with the end in mind. You don't want a shoe to last forever, unless it's like a pair of hand-sewn shoes, which I do. But that, in essence, is a different story. For fast fashion, or slightly slower than fast fashion movement, if you get my meaning, you don't want to be living in the same pair of shoes for a really, really long time. But why should those shoes end up in the dustbin? Why should they end up, being carted off by Pick It Up, heading off to a landfill where they're just going to stay? So we've designed, for instance, our fold-up pumps, the one that actually won the competition. Those are made from locally grown cottons. And if I can't find what the prints that I'm looking for locally, I look in West Africa. But I don't just go to the markets, I go to the mills, because unfortunately we've had a lot of influx of African wax coming in. Those unfortunately have polyester in them. So we look for they're 100%, and those are able to biodegrade. Our soles are made from recycled and recyclable material. So literally what happens is when you're done wearing your shoes and you feel like you can't get any more use out of them, you just take a monumental effort and just split them apart from your shoe, pop it into plastic recycling, and then just let your shoes could then go to the landfill and they'll be okay. They won't, you could bury them in the garden if you wanted to. They will not be around for more than 10 years.
You seem so confident and passionate about Save Our Souls. Tell us a point where failure was relevant and it was there and it was hard to pick yourself up again. Tell us about that moment and what do you do to pick yourself up? The lesson learned.
Okay, so that brings us back to Meshuggah. Meshuggah was my first baby.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So I came back from working in China, and I was absolutely certain that the South African market was ready for what I was going to give it, and it was ethical, it was eco-friendly, it was beautiful to me. And I didn't do market research. I kind of just bypassed that step completely, and handcrafted 90 pairs of shoes, handcrafted them, had an artisan from Limpopo help me out with the handcrafting the heels bit, and then went afterward to try and sell them, and I realized that absolutely nobody wanted them. The pricing was wrong. The whole ideology behind the marketing was wrong, and it all boiled down to not doing enough market research. And the lesson learned is that I never go into a product now without thinking it and then overthinking it and then getting someone else's opinion and then overthinking that. So that's the lesson. Painful, really expensive, but it definitely was an eye-opener.
I like what.
But valid for a future CEO that are there wanting to start their own business, you know?
Absolutely. What I really like here is that there's definite technical knowledge here, but it didn't translate into a solid business strategy, it seems.
No.
And how many of us out there, how many of we have the skill, we have and are convinced of our product perhaps, but we just don't have the strategy to back it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of strategy development, where did you get your insights? How did you come? It was an easy conclusion because no one wants your product.
Yeah.
But then how did you take that next step? Where did you go?
I made a huge bonfire and I burnt it all.
Okay.
I had to. They were just lying around and
really?
Getting dust, unfortunately. I kept a few pairs just for nostalgia.
Yeah.
But that was all that they were good for. I couldn't convince anyone to buy to buy those shoes. So I just shut down that project. I'm still working on Meshuggah, but I'm taking my time about working on it now. There is a space for what I'm going to be offering on Meshuggah, but it's just not the time, and we need to work on that a little bit.
So Save Our Souls is seemingly a lot more successful, but how did you bridge then the technical knowledge that you have with the business knowledge that is required to start a brand, run a company? Where did that come from?
Okay, I have to say that it's come from the Branson Center. I completed both the foundation and the advanced course, but when I started the foundation course, my business was a completely different picture. It was a whole different animal. And I had an idea of you know, Meshuggah. That was it. That was what was entrenched in my mind. And after completing the foundation course and, you know, listening to the facilitators, and you get to have one-on-one time with the most phenomenal people there. And, you know, one of them convinced me that I was looking at it from the wrong angle. In fact, it was the then CEO of the Branson Center, Jane Rankin, who said to me, you really have all this technical knowledge and skill, and you really need to be able to work on that and be able to offer something in the market that's not yet being offered. And I took that away, and that's when the consultancy was born. So we shelved Meshuggah because it wasn't working, and then just hopped into the consultancy side. And the consultancy kind of grew into, hey, we actually have the ability to produce our own products. So why not let's try that? And then that gave, it gave birth to making our own products. And we only see that kind of trajectory going upward. I think that we'll be able to offer a whole lot more once I return, and we're definitely working on words are failing me right now.
No worries.
We're working on...
We're hanging on to every word. Take your time. Yeah?
I'm sorry. So we're working on changing up our offering on the Kiddies brand a little bit. The Kiddies brand is also eco-friendly and, you know, the whole tooth that goes with that. But we want to be able to offer things that are more relevant to global markets as opposed to just South African markets. Something that will work in really cold weather, something that will work in really wet weather, that sort of thing.
So winning that Dream Entrepreneur Award really just fast-tracked your ideas and actually made you realize that you were on the right track.
Yes, it did.
They were of great assistance, the Branson Center.
Yeah.
So tell me about just the woman and the woman that you work with and the woman that you want to empower within Save Your Souls.
Okay, so I only work with women. I've worked with men before, and it doesn't work out so well.
You're listening to that.
Yeah, I'm listening, and I'm just wondering, what the heck?
Sorry, you guys have your space in the world, just not in my studio.
Yes.
I do enjoy working with women. They're very teachable. Unfortunately, the guy that I worked with before was not very teachable. So I literally wasted 3 months of my life trying to pass on skills to him, and then he just dumped me. So I now work with there are two women. One works part time for me on a project basis, and the other lady works full time for me. And they're both single moms. The one lady is from Ennerdale, which coincidentally is next to the suburb that I grew up in.
I was about to ask you, where are you from?
Lanesia South. So I was born in Johannesburg, but I grew up in Lanesia South. It was like my formative years was over there in the deep south.
Yeah, and then the traveling, and how could you afford? How did you do? Was it through the studies? Was through
holy crap,
Libby?
I don't know how I afforded it.
You've been everywhere, and you're still going other places. Yeah. What's going on? How did you? I mean, we all want to do that at some point in life, especially when you know what your passion is.
Yeah.
Especially when you know what you want to do, and I'm sure those facilities were very expensive.
Absolutely.
You know, in one way or another. So from a girl coming from Linz,
yeah,
to going to Italy, the most prestigious shoe school in Italy.
I have an amazing family, and my love of travel is definitely passed to me by my dad.
You know what? Sorry to interject. So I'm getting nice. We always say on future CEOs, especially Easy Equity.
Yeah.
The CEO.
Yes, Charles Savage.
Yes, he says that travel is so intrinsic, just into the value of seeing the world through different lenses. True
or false? No, that's the truest thing I've heard. My dad always used to say that travel's the best teacher. And I know I've spent, we literally spent four times a year, every school holiday in a different place within SA. So we've seen most of SA thanks to my dad. We could never afford when we were kids to actually travel abroad, but I always had this yearning. I want to get on a plane and I want to go somewhere. And it was only when I started working at Cosmopolitan magazine.
What were you doing then?
I was a junior fashion editor there. that I got the opportunity to travel to far off and exotic places, and someone else has done. That was awesome.
And someone else's bag.
Yeah. It was amazing. And then when I decided to go to Italy, my husband really believed in the idea that, you know, I could make it. And he said to me, let's cash in the policy that we've got, the life policy, and I'll cash in my pension, and let's do this.
Mm.
So, yeah. So, and then we took like a ginormous debt to you know, it was like sort of like filling the gap that was left over. And
sure.
Yeah, so I went off to Italy, and that's never how it all started.
Back.
Never look back, yeah.
So you were telling us about the woman that you employ.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that. We got sidetracked there. So Donna is a 28-year-old woman, and she's got two kids. She brings them up on her own. And she used to work for a factory that unfortunately closed down middle last year. It was one of the two remaining factories in Johannesburg that just shut their doors. They just couldn't any longer. So there were 45 people that just overnight became unemployed. And I could only afford to take one at that time. But yeah, so she's been with me ever since, and she worked as a table hand. That's literally like sort of a general assistant for 6 years for them, but they never wanted her to be more than a table hand. And when she came to me, and the reason why I employed her was, she said to me, I really like making shoes, but I don't know how. I only know how to do what I've been instructed to do, which is table hand work. And I said to her, you're hired. I will teach you everything you need to know about making shoes. And I'm not just skilling you so that you can do my jobs perfectly, but I'm skilling you because should you decide to leave me one day, I don't want you to go back to being a table hand in someone else's factory. I want you to be able to say, well, I know how to put together shoes from start to finish. And she was pleased with that, so because she stayed. So I do enjoy working with the women that I work with. The other lady, Christine, she's a machinist. She's one of the best that I know, and she works for me on a project basis. So so if I have samples that I want to make, if I want prototypes, my stitching is atrocious, I should let you know. That's why I get people to do the stitching for me. So she turns out the most beautiful work. She works part-time for a lot of people. I'm hoping that you know, towards the end of this year, that I can employ maybe two more people, and Christine as well on a full-time basis. So yeah.
The week that you were away, Gareth, we spoke to Melanie Hawkins, the CEO of Lioness of Africa, and she did say that this is the year or the decade of female entrepreneurship. So you're just living that philosophy.
Absolutely.
What I really liked coming out of this conversation, I mean, there's so much good coming out here. Mm-hmm. But what I really liked that you mentioned was how you had to cash in a policy, you had to bridge the gap that then still existed with more debt. But it's because you guys believed in what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And an important question that comes up time and time again, certainly when you're looking for funding, is what have you invested?
Yeah.
What have you put into this?
Yeah.
And look, sweat, blood and tears is a good answer, but you really, really do need to come to the party when it comes to that kind of thing. So if I have to now look at you, I'm convinced that you believe in this. I'm convinced that you want to help those women more so than I would have been perhaps if you hadn't have said that. So thank you for sharing that aspect.
Great.
The best advice you've ever received. Let's go there.
Ooh, geez, there's a lot of them. I have a little file in the back of my brain it's sort of titled "Advices Not to Forget."
Okay, all right.
But the most recent best advice that I've received has got to be when I spoke with Sir Branson, and I asked him about work-life balance, because as a wife, as a mother to a really small boy, and you know, as a sister, you know, daughter, there's so many roles that you have to play and have a business at the same time. How do you find balance in that? And he said, you know, your family will always be around. You need to chase after your business first. Don't forget them. But chase after your business first, because once you get that going and once you're successful in running that, you can make it up to them. You can then be able to take them on grand holidays, show them, you know, with more than just words, that you really appreciate that their support. And I do like that advice, because I've really been struggling. I've had one piece of advice that I could give anyone is never have two babies at the same time. What I mean by that, I had a baby, a human baby, and a business baby at exactly the same time.
Very, very interesting.
And
very interesting.
I felt like I was being torn apart in several different directions.
That's
I didn't know if I was being a good enough mom or was I failing at my business. Things weren't working out in the business. I was getting frustrated at home. You know, it was so distressing to me until eventually my mom said to me, you need to take a step back. I've got this. I brought you up. You turned out okay. I'll bring up your kid as well. So we live together, thankfully. So my mom's doing a fantastic job of holding the fort down while I go and traipse around and make stuff happen.
It's amazing how what she just said just links into the first half of our show about work-life balance and stress management.
I mean, Nadine Walsh spoke exactly about this point, that we all seem to strive for this idea of perfection, but you can't be perfect, so just hang on, just calm down.
Especially being a woman, Gareth,
yeah, balance
especially
it out.
Being a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I can't relate to that, but yes, yes, certainly so.
Oh, we love her. We love her. Ask her more questions, Gareth.
All right. To make it in business, do you need a network or do you need skills? I guess there's an argument for both, but and you're not allowed to be too PC here. Pick a side and go for it. What do you need?
I was going to be like, skills. I'm going to sit on the fence here.
Yeah, skills or a network?
You know, I really want to say skills, but the honest truth is that your network is your net worth. One of my fellow Branson entrepreneurs told me that. He always says this. Your network is your net worth. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, you know, using people to like kind of get into things. It's not. It's about standing on the shoulders of someone who's done it before you, someone who's fallen before you. So they can say to you, don't go that way, because that way is not the right way to go. And I know because, look, here are the scars. So I do think at some point you will need skills, because you can talk the talk. You can be as slick as you want to. Mm. But if you don't have the skills to back that up with, then your network is worth nothing.
Let's just quickly talk about the balance point here, though, because so a network, a lot of people just withdraw and withdraw and withdraw and take and take and take and, you know, always asking for something from someone. But that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about a network that is worth something, right?
Yeah.
Thoughts on that? I mean, Libby, your thoughts as well. I mean, you can't just take from a network.
No.
And it's also about what I've learned through this show is follow through. You know, you meet people, you see that, okay, they can be of advice and of potential or just of value to you. But after a couple of days, it ends there. And it's just about keeping that it's a relationship.
It is.
And it's keeping that consistent and keeping it. It's a two-way street as well. And just keeping that going.
That's
over
right.
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
What examples do you have about your network?
Okay, so I'm in the process of building a network for myself. I happen to be quite introverted, so networking for me is pretty difficult. Mm. I don't like talking about myself. The show was like, it's horrendous as it is. But, you know, it is what it is. So I'm in the process of doing exactly that, building relationships with people. But you're absolutely right, Luby, because it's not about what you can take away from that. I had a friend from the States who said to me, he's like an ace networker, and he just networks for the fun of it, you know. And he says that it never go into a situation thinking about what you can get out of it, because you as an individual have so much to give. Whether it is advice, whether it is skill, whether it doesn't matter, you've got something to give, and that's what you throw out there and go, oh, hey, you know, would you like to have coffee? I heard you talking about X, Y, and Z. I'd like to, you know, give you an opinion on it or ask you a little bit more about it. And that's what it is about. It's about building relationships through, you know, just being interested.
Mm. I really like that. Just being interested.
I like that. What can we say? What makes Save Our Souls different from any other design consultancy?
Our small scale manufacturing ability right now, that is key. That's our key difference. And also the ability that we have to tailor our footwear to conform with ethical standards. We're working on getting like super green, but that's expensive and it takes some time, but that's the goal.
Yeah. And Rome wasn't built in a day. Certainly.
Yeah.
All right. We have run out of time. A final word from you. Put yourself.
Wait, can I
ask,
where do you see yourself? Were you going there? What are your plans? What do you want to do? I heard some nice things in the pipeline. Tell the future CEO community.
So I'm going to be traveling very soon, next week. I'll be gone for a couple of months. I'm putting my business on a small little hiatus. And I'm going to be completing my master's in the Netherlands. So it's master's
in what?
In footwear innovation and technology.
Wow,
so
woman.
It's the green bit of footwear making.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
I'm really looking forward to it, because I've I've been so busy running this business for the last almost 2.5 years that I've forgotten the creative side a little bit. And it's going to be great to pick up a pencil and just have nothing to do but sketch. So I'm really looking forward to that. Whilst I'm gone, the business still is able to run. We've got products out in the market. We've got people running that show for us. I've got my worker in training at another factory. So nothing kind of gets, you know, shut down, locked away, all of that sort of thing. It's still up and running. It's just I won't be here. But yeah, so it's the Netherlands, it's China, it's networking in Washington in April. I just got accepted as part of the Harambe Entrepreneur Alliance, it's called. Harambe Entrepreneur Alliance.
Woo-hoo!
That's pretty cool. So yeah, I'm less than 2% of the entire amount of applicants get accepted, so
wow.
I'm pretty chuffed
well
about that.
Hey, listen to those bragging.
I know, Garrett.
Sorry.
No, it's very, very, very good.
This is the kind of people we have on our show.
Exactly. So on that note, we have to wrap it up.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We really, really appreciate you, and all the best with Save Our Souls. And we look forward to, in a year's time, having you back on the show, seeing where you are when you get back from Netherlands,
yeah.
China, America.
Wherever.
Just come and ring our bell, and we'll see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for inspiring me and all the other women wannabe entrepreneurs out there.
All right.
Thank
we'll see you same time, same place next week. Really good show. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your journey.
Bye for now.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.